Welcome back to the shot list. Once again, today we're talking about a topic that can be polarizing: the role of social media in shaping our creative careers. Social media has become both a playground and a battleground for creative. It's a great way to get exposure and get your work in front of new eyes as well, and be on top of mind of your career clients. But at the same time, it keeps getting more demanding and competitive. But before we start and do a deep dive on our opinions, Jessica, what platform do you use for your videography work?
So, hi everyone, first of all. Thank you for that wonderful intro.
Happy to help.
Yeah. For me, Instagram is the main platform I use. It is a community and portfolio thing. So I post all, or like, not all videos I produce, but the ones I'm happy with, mm-hmm. that I want to have in my portfolio. And it's also, it was helping me to like break into the world of fashion, to meet a community, to meet like-minded people to work with, to collab with. And then I started to use LinkedIn, but I definitely need to engage with it a lot more. I don't know a lot about LinkedIn. I use Dazed Club, as I said in the previous episode, if you want to listen to that, where we introduced ourselves. It is also a community thing for me, but it's more international, and I can look up for like roles and positions people have in different companies. And
always good to know.
Yeah, exactly. You need to know who is working where. Exactly. So you need to be a great stalker for good marketing. And then I also use TikTok, but that's just mainly for fun. Like, I don't have a strategy on there. I just post whenever and whatever I feel like. So social media also, it should be fun as well. Because Instagram, a lot of the time, I feel like pressure from it to like post regularly, have good quality content, stuff like that. So TikTok for me is just a relief to, I just make it for fun. Mm-hmm. What else do we have? Facebook, I've never used, and I will probably never use. I don't see the point in that. So yeah, the main platform for me is definitely Instagram. So yeah, I think that's it. What are your platforms you use for photography?
So kind of similar, obviously, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest.
Oh, Pinterest.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not only for inspiration, but, you know, to post my work, and then obviously LinkedIn.
Yeah. Okay. I'm interested because like I only use Pinterest for inspo or like mood boards. I've never used it as a creator.
And then Facebook.
No.
I just really like when I post on Instagram, I choose the option of also publish on Facebook and kind of like forget about it. It's mostly for my mom and family to kind of like
Keep tabs. Exactly.
It's there. It doesn't make me like think, like doesn't cause me any extra work.
I think that's definitely a generation thing, in which generation you grew up in.
And because I made my photography page back in 2015.
Yeah.
So Facebook was still kind of relevant. So it's there. Like,
yeah.
I should probably do some like update there and be like, I don't even know what's posted there. Maybe delete all work. It's probably there. And it's embarrassing.
Oh. You should delete that before the podcast goes live. Yeah, yeah. Everyone's like looking it up.
It will be gone by then. Don't go. Don't spend your time looking at it.
Perfect.
Okay, so to get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Instagram for me, it's just another portfolio.
Yeah, same.
On my website, the work that goes there is the one I'm really proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And then my Instagram, I'm a bit more like lack in that department. Like I'll post maybe test shoots that on my website doesn't make really much sense unless it's like a beautiful like shoot, mm-hmm. but otherwise, you know, I'll post more consistent. I'll re-upload all work just, you know, to keep it fresh.
Yeah,
so that's kind of like an easygoing portfolio for me.
Yeah.
And then I also use it to either keep tabs on other creatives that I've worked with,
mm-hmm.
or clients I have like a personal relationship with, or that
yeah.
I've already worked with them. So that way I'm on top of their mind and we can, you know, interact in some way.
Exactly.
I'm not forgotten in
exactly,
a sea of
yeah.
other creatives.
Yeah. That's important.
I think,
yeah.
Yeah. Always remind your client that you're still there. Always.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
and
never
then
know.
Also use it for collaborations mostly, to reach out to creatives and be like, hey, you know, I have this idea, let's collab. I think
yeah.
when collaborations, I know Instagram works best,
mm-hmm.
then email, I think email sometimes can get a bit too serious.
Too formal, yeah.
Sense. Yeah. I'll send the files and everything on the email if they want to, but I don't know. I'll do the reach out on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
do it however you want. That's how I do it. And I think you kind of do the same.
Yeah.
That's our take on that.
Yeah, yeah. I feel the
then,
same.
For TikTok, I'm just having fun there.
Same.
I'm trying to be a bit more intentional and consistent with it.
Because
I think it's a great platform.
Yeah.
And if you do it well, you can get a lot of new eyes on your work. But I don't think necessarily you'll find clients there. It's more of a, you know, inspire, share knowledge with other creatives.
Yeah.
Kind of like share your work every now and then and
mm-hmm.
maybe show your personality a bit more than on Instagram. It doesn't feel as organic to do that, at least for me. And on TikTok, it's kind of like everything goes, enjoy, have fun, show who you are.
It's a community thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think if a client goes to my Instagram, they'll see my work. And if they go on TikTok, they'll see me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think, I don't know, but I don't think clients have the time to look up your TikTok and scroll through your videos. Like,
no, I don't think so. But I don't know, if they want to, like, they'll see more of my personality side, and, like, goofy side, let's say.
Exactly.
And then Pinterest. So it's not like I have, like, a massive strategy. I'll just upload all of my work to get more traffic, either to my Instagram portfolio or TikTok, just because the content there has a little bit of a longer life.
Yeah.
And then it's also very rewarding when you see someone save your work on like this board for inspiration and you're
that's cute.
Like that's very nice.
Yeah, that's really cute.
That's where I use it. I'll do new work, I'll post it there and like forget about it.
Nothing. Yeah, okay.
And the algorithm is good. Like I do absolutely nothing and you know it has quite a bit of visits and traction, so
I need to
try
that.
Try it out.
Yeah I haven't tried that at all. Like I just use it, as I said, for like mood boards. I've never considered it to use it as a creator, but it sounds rewarding, I guess.
Yeah.
Or do you feel like you can see a difference when you're using it?
It's not a massive difference.
Okay.
I don't think it's gonna start getting you clients either way. It's just having, and it's also good if someone Googles your name, a lot of the searches they come up are from Pinterest for some reason. So it's just having your name in a bigger platform, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
We're getting into like the more marketing SEO strategy here.
Exactly. Okay. Let's stop here.
But just if someone types your name, like, I don't know, there's some results of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think if a pin gets a bit of traction, then it shows higher on Google. I know now that's changing SEO for Google, but you know that's another
that's
episode.
A whole other, lot of topic.
Yeah, we're getting off topic now. And then what else? Oh, obviously LinkedIn. We have LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. I can learn a lot from you.
LinkedIn, it's basically clients.
Mm-hmm.
I do follow and other photographers follow me. And it's good because when you like or comment other posts, you'll get that on your feed. So if someone comments on a post of like, oh, I'm looking for a freelance photographer or I'm looking for recommendations and they go, oh, hi, me, I'm a photographer, you'll get that post and the person who posted it. So then you can go and outreach, do some outreach and introduce yourself.
I did not know that.
Yep.
I only knew that from Threads. I don't know if you use Threads.
Yeah, I use it.
But yeah, it's the same mechanics behind it. Okay,
but it's with the people who have the decision power in the company. So I think it's a bit more, you know.
Yeah, obviously.
It has a better result, I would say. And then obviously professionals talking on there, who works where, what do they do, past companies that I can also reach out to.
Yeah.
Kind of like that thing. And yeah. Then I'm starting trying to get to post there more consistently. But I feel it's a bit awkward sometimes to be like, oh, here's X, Y, and Z, and be very business-like.
Yeah.
But I think it's just getting used to it.
So what do you exactly post on LinkedIn? Do you post your photographs or do you post anything like other content there?
I post the work I create. If I have something new, I'll post it there.
Yeah.
Then I'm now currently reposting all work that I've never published there, so it kind of makes sense. I'm trying to, every now and then I'll post my portfolio.
Yeah.
Like, here's the updated version. Or I'll do, now I'm doing this where I post it on TikTok mostly, but I do the editing process of the photos.
Yeah.
So every now and then I'll post that on LinkedIn because I also reach out to people as a retoucher. So I think, you know, it's good to know that they see kind of
what
like
you do.
The starting point to the finish point, what I can do.
Yeah.
I think it's good to know the process. I do post videos or all work I've done. I haven't done yet a post where I'm like, oh, here's my opinion on that. I think I need to actually sit down and write it.
Yeah.
So I just need to make myself accountable and go write that one. Because it's uncomfortable for me. I feel it's not organic because I'm not used to posting my opinion. It's more always my work.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There's a bit of
same.
A tense there. But that's what I post now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I see. Okay.
Yeah, hopefully that helps.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like, because I haven't done a lot on LinkedIn. I need to figure out what my strategy will be.
I think I'm going to start also posting a bit of my process, my creative process. Like, here's my mood board for this or things like that. Things that I normally post on TikTok, funnily enough, but do it in a more professional way or a bit more curated.
Yeah.
Be more selective of what I show and how I show it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think if they're hiring me as a photographer or art director, they might be interested on my creative process, how I present ideas and things like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. What I will not be doing, it's reposting or posting other people's work, like, oh, love this campaign by so-and-so.
Yeah.
Like I've seen some photographers uploading, I don't know, like the Gucci campaign, being latest Gucci campaign with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I'll repost a post about it maybe with my take on it, but I won't post like content that it's not mine. Or
okay,
if I do,
okay.
I'm
going to
make it very clear. It's not my work. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
saying
could be misleading.
My opinion. Exactly.
Okay,
and then
being
like, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah. I get
that's
that.
That's what I'm figuring out now.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I see.
Yeah. So, now I have a question for you.
Thanks. Yeah, what's the question?
Okay. So, from your experience, how much paid work do you get for Instagram? Because for me, it's almost zero. So, I want to know what's your take on that or your experience.
Yeah. I think the jobs don't come like directly from Instagram. It helped me to break through at the beginning. Like, it helped me to find people to work with, not specifically clients, but like it helped me to find stylists, makeup artists, photographers, models, people to work with and to build the portfolio that I have now. And I mean, that's part of like, my portfolio is part of how I get jobs now, but it's not directly that I gain those jobs from Instagram. It definitely helps me because like the market of creatives is full, it's huge, and you need some sort of visibility, I think, and that can be generated over on Instagram. Though I think it is more important who follows you instead of how many people follow you. I mean, depending on your goal, but for me, I think it's more important who follows me. So
quality over quantity.
Exactly.
Everything in life you should go by that, I think.
Exactly. And I think it helps me to build relationships with existing clients I already have. So they can see what I'm up to. They can see what work I've done recently, and we can have like some sort of interaction. So as you said, it's important to stay on their mind. I think that helps. Instagram helps with
definitely
that. Yeah. And also, like, people can see who is following you, and if they know loads of people who are following you, I feel like you seem more like trustworthy in a way, because they think, okay, she knows them and them and them and them. She is fine. Like, she's not sketchy.
She knows the right people.
Yeah, exactly. She is in the same bubble as we are. And I feel like that is really helpful. And then the actual jobs I get through emailing PR agencies, brands, clients, I don't think that's necessarily because of Instagram. It's just because I do the emails and I can send them my portfolio. But if your goal is different than mine, and it's more like you want to go into the influencer direction or getting like brand deals or working with, for example, I don't know, Canon, Nikon, Sony, they are probably interested in a bigger following if you want to do videos
and
for them.
Different, complete type of content.
Exactly. If you want to do a different kind of content, I think then the following is more important. But in my case, I don't think it's that important.
If your work is not good enough, having a big following
exactly
won't book you a job.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just a relationship between me and the clients. That's like the main point of it. And that does help, like, yeah, but it's not the big paid campaign that comes through my Instagram DMs randomly on a Thursday evening.
I mean, I wish, hopefully one day.
Yeah, like, maybe.
Never know. Like,
I
won't say no to any of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I talk from a point of view, like, I don't have that huge following, so I might be completely wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know how things
what
would
having
change.
A big following is.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just talking from my point of view. Maybe it is totally different when you have that following, and maybe you then get that campaign on a random Thursday evening. I just don't know. But at this point in my life, it's mainly to build relationships between me and my clients.
Yeah. For me, kind of the same. I think to keep up with other creative, reach to new creative, as we said before, it's great. I have no doubt that a client will have a look at my Instagram at some point during their decision-making process to say if I'm hired or booked for that specific job. But I don't think if they go into my Instagram and say, oh, she doesn't even have like 2K followers, like, I'm not gonna hire her.
Yeah.
That's not gonna be the case. I don't think it's a make it or break it kind of decision. But I think it might help the client make their decision if you have a big following, just because you have that social proof of a bunch of people already liking your work. But then could be you bought the followers. Like, you don't know. Like, there's so many reasons behind having a good following or a big following. Like, if you started back in 2014-13, like, photographers have been in the game longer.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't follow any strategy, but they have big following because they were the first photographers to be on there, so they were followed.
Yeah, was less competition as well back in the
days. Or they work with big name celebrities or anything like that.
Yeah.
So they're followed for that reason, I would say. So let's not compare our work with anyone. Big following doesn't mean that your work is better
dangerous.
Or worse. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope to get there. I don't know, you get into very like a lot of second guessing your work and your worth.
I've been there.
I think
not good for mental health.
No.
Just that's
if you
dangerous.
Feel you're getting to that point, close the app and don't open it for like 24 hours.
Exactly.
Throw your phone away.
No, exactly. You need to reflect on the way you use social media because it can be really, really dangerous for you.
Yeah, for
to
example,
spiral down in negativity.
Yeah. I have known of photographers that back in 2016,
yeah,
they had like this big following and they were like Insta famous. to use a word or a term. So they were getting consistently booked, and people were like, oh, they're so great, their work is awesome. And I was like, in my opinion, everything is subjective. It's not for me.
Yeah.
I get it, but it's not for me. I don't think, you know, there's things I would do different. Let's not get into that. But they were getting consistent work and everything. But as trends and the industry changed and what the audiences wanted, they weren't able to adapt to those because they didn't have the technical knowledge of how to keep up with that, or they didn't want to change their editing or anything. Like, you can still keep your style and change with the industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and now what's going on with them? Well, I know one of them, he just deleted his whole account and started from scratch.
Yeah.
So he's trying to, he's rebranding himself. So props to him, because that's something really hard to do. And erasing an account with like lots of followers, it's a very brave and bold move. I don't know if I could do it, like props to him. But now he's,
I guess,
reteaching himself, learning the skills properly, and, you know, actually creating something he likes, and it's also allowing him to work. Maybe not as much as he used to. I don't know what's his current situation. But I mean, so that's a good example of a big following doesn't guarantee workload consistently.
Yeah, like that's
getting booked consistently, I would say.
True, yeah. That's why I don't fully believe in fake it till you make it. Like, I feel like in the fashion industry, you hear that saying a lot. Like, everyone tells you, fake it till you make it. But I feel like in videography or photography as well, you can only fake it to a certain point, but you need to have the technical knowledge, and you need to have, like, the vision of a good photograph or a good video. Like, you need to have some sort of skill. You cannot fake everything. It's not working. No, I think
you
can
fake it till you make it when you have the basics down.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When if that and big then opportunity you can start. Comes and you're like, okay, I've got this. I know how to handle this.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
But if you're called to a big campaign and they're like, oh, it's going to be in studio and we need like some lighting design, and you're like, oh, I don't know how to light a studio, then it's like, oh, well, maybe you shouldn't be faking it till you make it for this.
Yes. Yeah. To a certain degree, yes. Yeah. But not 100%. Like,
if you say you can do something, make sure
you can do
you
it.
Know how to do it.
Or you have like the time to learn it.
Exactly. Maybe you've never fully done it at like the same scale.
Yeah.
But at least you know the basics that you can apply and then do it in a bigger scale. But you know, because you're gonna be so much relaxed when that opportunity comes and you know how to do it and how to handle everything.
Exactly. Otherwise,
if it's already stressful when you start doing something in a bigger scale.
Yeah.
But if you don't know how to do it, like, no. Like, I would that on anyone.
Mm-mm. No, that my anxiety level would be, like, through the roof at that point.
Oh, I'd be calling in, well, I'm not coming. I'm in the hospital with an anxiety attack. Sorry.
Sick. Sorry. We went quite a bit off track.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right
that
here.
Was, like, not even in my plans to, like, talk about today, but good tips, I guess.
No, I like that. I like that. But we have LinkedIn as...
Oh, yeah.
I've written down LinkedIn because I don't engage with it. And to get a bit more information about how you use LinkedIn. Because at the beginning, you do a lot of free work. You do a lot of collabs and editorials and portfolio shoots and everything, and you can get that through Instagram, but at some point you need to break through and get actual paying clients. Yep. So that's why I'm considering to get more into LinkedIn, because I feel like, or I hope I can find more clients, and I can look up who is working with which brand and who is the right person to connect with and staying up to date with what they're doing, and maybe kind of like find jobs through that. So that's why I was wondering, why do you use LinkedIn and what are the benefits from it and how do you use LinkedIn?
So the reason why I use LinkedIn is because it's a professional network. So people who are there are already in a business mindset. They're not there to make friends. to a degree, I think. Yeah, I'll connect obviously to other creatives and people in the industry. But when you go or log into LinkedIn, you're not looking for a, I don't know, oh, let's see if I find some like inspiration for my next shoot.
Yeah.
You can do that on TikTok, Instagram, Pinterest. Like, you go there to find inspiration, I would say.
Exactly.
On LinkedIn, if I log in, I'm either maybe looking for a stylist for a project I have.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm looking for new brands I want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes from them, for them too. If they log into LinkedIn, they're going to look for the photographer they need, or if they need a producer, or they need, like, I don't know, an assistant, anything, they might go there. And they're already thinking of hiring, maybe,
yep.
or to keep you in their network of professionals to use in the future at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
I think the mindset of the connections you make there, it's completely different.
Yeah.
On Instagram, I'll follow someone who I know I'll probably never work with.
Yeah.
I like their stuff, but maybe they don't. It doesn't match my work, so, but I still like what they do, so I'll follow them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think LinkedIn, the mindset that people have, it's kind of different.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I'm there. And also, the people that are there are the people with decision power.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the campaigns and the shoots, editorials, they're the ones looking who are they going to hire, who do they need for a specific project.
Yes.
So I think that's a big difference, I think, as an art director, because a lot of art directors, they'll have the company they work for and be like, I'm art director for that company, for X company. But most of the time, they might not be on Instagram thinking, oh, let's see who I can hire for my next show.
Yeah.
I think it's more like, oh, you know, I follow them because I like their stuff. But if they come up, I'll be like, oh, great. Like, I'm going to keep them. But I don't know. I don't think it's that mindset in LinkedIn. Yeah, I think that's the right mindset. So who do I follow and how do I find people? Well, I become a stalking. That's the word, stalking people. In a nice way, you know.
Just of course,
stalking
of course.
On LinkedIn, nothing beyond that, nothing, you know, creepy. So I'll normally just, when it comes to brands, I'll look for the art director.
Yeah.
If it's a big brand, because they'll have, you know, a lot of departments, it's either art directors or someone in the marketing team. Each company is different.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say like, oh, only reach to art directors. It depends on the size. Each company has different titles.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I've seen social media managers that produce campaigns in small companies.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's kind of like a hit or miss. Maybe they have like five art directors if they're a huge company. Yeah. And you're like, who do I reach out to? Like, I don't know, just try one and hope for the best. Yeah. Just go with your gut. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then I'll also look for production agencies because small companies, they'll outsource that. And big companies, sometimes they have to create so many campaigns that they need to source that too.
Yeah.
So a brand might have like three campaigns, but a production agency at the end of the day has multiple clients with multiple projects. Mm-hmm. So I think the odds of fitting in one of those can be a bit higher.
Yeah, okay.
And they always need new photographers to show to their clients as a possible, like, you know, person to shoot their work. So
yes,
always good to be in touch with them. And then for magazines, I look for the fashion editor normally, or some the bigger magazines that also have their producer, their art director, and like all
they
that
have
jazz.
Them. Yeah.
So if someone doesn't respond, just look for someone with a similar title, or, you know, if you email or reach out to the fashion editor, they don't respond, they might be busy. People are busy, we are busy, we forget.
Yes.
I'll go to someone else in that company after a while.
Okay, I see. Okay, I have some homework to do.
Or if the email is blocked or I didn't get the right address or they never accepted my connection request, I'll try someone else after a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't take it personally, because sometimes we just forget things.
No, yeah.
But what I've come to find is at least for fashion editors or for people in magazines, a lot of them aren't there active, or they're not even on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So you need to go to Instagram for some reason.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I don't know. But I, for example, have some very high up there, like on the ladder people on my LinkedIn, like they accepted my request. CEO of Bottega Veneta. I was like, okay, worth a try. He was like, accept. He probably has some social media manager, you know, handle that.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, cool. Awesome.
Maybe that comes in handy in the future.
You never know.
You never know. Okay, I need to do some stalking and note it. And some
maybe I'm doing it all wrong, but so far that's how I'm doing it. If anyone has any tips, like, they're welcome.
Yeah.
I think slowly people are getting more into LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So that's a slow change. I do think with AI, it's kind of become a sea of like ChatGPT copy and paste post.
Yeah.
So probably. I would say avoid doing that. You know, don't post because of posting. If you're just copying and paste something, it's not even your idea. Because chances of someone writing something very, very similar are high. And when you use ChatGPT, you quickly learn the sentence they use.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, that was fully ChatGPT created. Yeah. So edit everything, please.
Please have your personality.
Yeah. Add your personality spice, here and there.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, it does. I need to do a lot of research now, and I really
and
need to
engage. And maybe add me on LinkedIn because you haven't.
I haven't?
No.
Oh.
Well, I'll add you if not.
Well, we'll find out in the next episode.
if I've done my LinkedIn request.
If I've done my homework correctly.
Exactly.
And then I follow everyone you follow.
Okay, cool. Just...
Easy. You've done the stalking for me already.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And if I send an email and I've never got an answer, then I'll request a LinkedIn connection.
Nice.
Don't forget about me.
Yeah, please.
Basically. So, yep, here's our episode.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed it. And that's it.
That's a wrap.